Hello, this is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL. Catholic Baltimore is a weekly radio program hosted by the Archdiocese of Baltimore, airing each Sunday following the broadcast of the Radio Mass of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic radio partners for sharing with us some of the contents in this program and for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to the Archdiocese of Baltimore every Sunday.
I'm Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. At the death of a Christian whose life of faith was begun in the waters of baptism and strengthened at the Eucharistic table, the Church intercedes on behalf of the deceased because of its confident belief that death is not the end, nor does it break the bonds forged in life. The Church also ministers to the sorrowful and consoles them in the funeral rites with the comforting Word of God and the sacrament of the Eucharist. These words come from the Order of Christian Funerals and describe the Catholic Church's teaching on the end of life. Whether death is expected or comes suddenly, Catholics often find themselves in unfamiliar territory and are suddenly left to plan a funeral. Where do they turn? Well, Catholics in Baltimore have turned to our guest and his family for more than 90 years. Mike Ruck of Ruck Funeral Homes, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Sean. Good to be with you.
So Ruck Funeral Homes has been around 91 years. How long have you been involved in the funeral business?
Well, I've been licensed now for about 44 years. And, of course, my son, Mike Jr., is with us as well, so he's Generation 4 in our family.
So it really is a family business.
Yeah, we've served families from three different locations in the greater Baltimore area, in Hamilton, down in the Dundalk community, and also out in Towson.
And which of those three would you say is either your busiest or your biggest location?
Well, all three of the locations certainly serve a wide demographic area, but probably at this point in time our Towson location because of the location and ease of convenience for most families.
Right off the beltway.
Yes.
So you yourself have been, as you said, licensed for over four decades. That's a lot of time. What changes have occurred in that time that come to mind?
Well, I think the largest change is the absolute expectation on the part of families that we help them design a service that is meaningful and personalized. And I know that the Church has many different options that are available for families, and we can certainly talk about when we talk about planning a Christian or Catholic funeral as well. And of course, cremation is increasing as a method of disposition for families, and those are probably the two biggest changes that we've seen.
So what does make a good Catholic funeral?
Well, you know, the Catholic funeral is a continuation or continuum of our faith. When we're brought into our church for the first time with our Catholic, with our parents and godparents, our baptism occurs before a Paschal candle. We're given a white garment that we wear that's given to us for our baptism, and our little infant body is blessed with holy water. And when we come into our church for the last time, our casket is placed before a Paschal candle. Our body is blessed with holy water, and a pall is placed upon our casket. And at the opening of those services, the priest says, on the day of your baptism, you put on Christ. In the day of Christ's coming, may you be clothed with glory. And it's a continuation. You know, the Catholic funeral, while it might be difficult for families to appreciate and understand at the time, but the Catholic funeral is a celebration of your new life.
And I would imagine because a lot of people are thrust into the position of having to unexpectedly plan a funeral, emotions kick in, it's difficult to make rash decisions, some people are just overwhelmed with grief. What advice do you have for people in terms of planning ahead and thinking about it? I know it's a subject people don't like to think about, but it is a practical reality.
Yeah, you know, we're encouraged to make plans, whether it's having a updated will, durable power of attorney, advanced medical directives, and for a lot of families, planning for their service in the future is just a natural extension of that. I've been a funeral director, as we mentioned, for over 40 years now, and my experience is that most families know what they want to have in the way of a funeral because it's been customary and traditional for them. We find a lot of families now that are making prearrangements. They come to a funeral home of their choice for an explanation of choices and options that are available before a death even occurs. Many families will just reduce these requests to writing. Other families will take the step even forward of paying for their services to be provided at some indeterminate time in the future. Mm-hmm. And those funds are certainly placed in using an insurance policy to fund those services.
So when we talk about planning a funeral, what are the if somebody goes into Ruck Funeral Home today and says, I'm not going anytime soon that I know of, but I know I'm going to go at some point, I want to make plans. What are the kinds of things that they're able to do and select and kind of choose?
Well, we would explain to families and give to them for their retention a copy of what is referred to as a general price list and casket at or burial container price list. But we would get information from them necessary for the completion of some documents in the future, for any newspaper notices that they may want to have. And then we can sit and talk to them about the type of services they prefer, particular church where they may have their mass, if they own cemetery property, and explain what charges would be currently for those services to be provided. Some people do nothing more than leave those records on file with us, and other people, as I mentioned, will even take and prepay for those services to be provided in the future.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you see a range of, you know, in terms of what are popular selections, and you talk about caskets and the types, and I'm sure they're all types like anything else.
Yep, a wide range of services, not only merchandise, but also a wide range of services that families can select from. The Catholic Church has always encouraged families to possibly have a service where there's a period of visitation and viewing, the Mass with the body present, and then burial. But the Catholic Church, of course, recognizing the fact that cremation is becoming more popular among families, would still prefer to see the service with the body present and then burial. But certainly after a Mass, the families can have a cremation. The Church feels that the cremated remains should be treated with dignity and respect as with the body, and that the cremated remains should be buried or placed in a mausoleum. The Church discourages the indiscriminate scattering of cremated remains.
Mm-hmm. So in your capacity, having worked in the business for such a long period of time, and obviously have a wealth of experience and knowledge, you have been privileged to serve in leadership positions when it comes to other funeral home directors. Can you talk a little bit about that, what roles you've held and what your obligations have been?
Well, I was president of the Maryland State Funeral Directors Association, which is our trade association, but I also served on the State Board of Morticians. And my last year on that board, I served as president. Basically, the State Board, which is the regulatory arm of funeral service in the state of Maryland, we're charged to make sure that funeral directors comply with all laws and regulations, and if there are issues that have been brought by a particular family, we help resolve those issues where we can.
Good. And obviously, your experience and connection with the Catholic Church has allowed you to be called upon to assist with large funerals from everyone from archbishops to dignitaries and to those who may not be Catholic but utilize the cathedral, say, because of the space and the parking and such. Can you talk about the challenges that might be associated with having a large funeral?
Yes. Serving when police, fire, or individuals in the military that may die in the line of duty, it requires a lot of additional work on our part because we have to coordinate with either different state or local departments, police and fire, we try to make sure that we serve all families and provide the services that they need. But again, the coordination of a funeral of a prominent individual like Governor Schaefer that we had several years ago does require a lot of additional planning on our part, as well as services for some of the members of our archdiocese, such as Bishop Murphy, archbishop orders right. do require additional time. And right. working, in that case, Sean, with the archdiocese very
That's
closely.
Right. That, absolutely. And sometimes it involves coordinating with the media and other agencies, as you said. One thing I've been curious about, I'm sure other people are too, is it has to be a job where there are days that are more difficult than others. You're, you know, dealing with obviously death, and especially an untimely death, the death of a child, for example, must make those days difficult. How do you deal with them after so many years? And I imagine that you've gotten better at it than you were when you first started, as anybody would, but I imagine it's still difficult.
Yes, it is. A lot of the families that we serve now, it's after a member of their family is in advanced age and oftentimes suffering from lingering, wasting, terminal sort of illnesses. And when serving those families, it's almost a sense of relief, not only for them, but knowing that their loved one is no longer suffering or going through that type of pain. But serving a family when a death is totally unanticipated, their grief is much more acute. They don't believe that these things have happened. And it's a responsibility of ours to try to help them through the process, arrange with them, again, like I said, that service that's meaningful for them. The death of a child is really even more difficult. When we bury our parents, we bury our past. When we bury our children, then we bury our future. Mm. And working with them can be very, very difficult. You don't have to be in funeral service too long before you realize that human life is precious, but it's very fragile.
For more information about Ruck Funeral Homes, you can find them online, or you can contact them, and the phone number would be?
The phone number at our Towson location, of course, is 410-823-1700. But again, information available on our website, which is www.ruckfuneralhomes.org.
Mike Ruck, thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Sean.
Catholic news from the Archdiocese of Baltimore and around the world with the Catholic Review. Donald J. Trump will be sworn in as the 45th President of the United States January 20th in Washington, D.C. New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan will read a passage from Scripture at the special event. In October, Cardinal Dolan hosted Trump and his then rival for the presidency, Hillary Clinton, at the 71st annual dinner of the Alfred E. Smith Memorial Foundation. Did you know that the Catholic Church has played a role in past inaugurations? Upon the election of George Washington, Baltimore's own Bishop John Carroll wrote a letter to the new nation's first president in 1790, urging Washington to promote religious freedom. Bishop Carroll later composed a prayer asking that the president's administration be conducted in righteousness. Also, prayers of invocation and benedictions have been offered at presidential inauguration since 1937, when Father John A. Ryan of the Catholic University of America gave the benediction at President Franklin D. Roosevelt's inauguration. John F. Kennedy, the nation's first Catholic president, was the first to be sworn in on a Catholic Bible in 1961. Lyndon Baines Johnson was sworn in on an airplane in 1963 using a Catholic missal, a book of prayers, and not a Bible, that had belonged to his slain predecessor. Before being sworn in as the nation's first Catholic vice president in 2009, Joe Biden attended Mass at Holy Trinity Church in Washington, the same church where Kennedy worshiped prior to his swearing in as president. Learn more at CatholicReview.org. Interested in attending a chicken dinner, lecture, or spiritual event in the Archdiocese of Baltimore? Check out our datebook on our homepage at CatholicReview.org. From the newsroom of the Catholic Review, this is George Madison.
Do you want to know more about what's going on in the church and the world than you can get from your daily newspaper or local TV? Read the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the church full-time, The Catholic Review. Pick up the print magazine monthly at your parish or have The Catholic Review delivered to your home every month. You can get fresh news every day online at CatholicReview.org. Subscribe to the Catholic Review e-newsletter for twice-a-week updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Find our app on Apple and Android, and follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Wherever your faith takes you, Catholic Review Media is ready to inspire, teach, inform, and engage. Read it today, in print and online, at CatholicReview.org. That's CatholicReview.org.
You are listening to Catholic Baltimore on Q1370 WQLL.
This is Sean Kane, and you're listening to Catholic Baltimore. We're here today with Deacon Bill Fleming of the Office of Disabilities Ministry for the Archdiocese of Baltimore. Deacon Fleming, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So you administer the Office of Disabilities Ministry for the Archdiocese. What are the types of disabilities that you mostly minister to and see in your office and in your work?
Statistically, 20% of any given population is said to be disabled. So in the Office of Disabilities Ministry for the Archdiocese, we encounter people with developmental and intellectual disabilities such as autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, epilepsy, and others, as well as physical disabilities, people who are blind, people who have mobility challenges, and others, as well as emotional disabilities. Mental illness is a disability, post-traumatic stress, as well as other emotional issues.
And those are all very different disabilities with a specific required skills to minister to them. How does the church attempt to minister to people with so many different challenges?
Our bishops, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, have made it very clear in their pastoral statement for persons with disabilities that there can be no separate church for people with disabilities. We are a single flock under one shepherd, Jesus Christ. So our church must reach out to make sure that people feel welcomed, included. And our churches make efforts to provide access and accommodations for persons with disabilities. In our parishes, our liturgies, sacramental preparation, as well as making sure people feel that they are welcome to be ministers in the church. All facets, Eucharistic ministers, deacons, priests, choir members, greeters, anywhere where anyone is welcome. We want to make sure people with disabilities feel welcome as well.
And I would imagine that Pope Francis has helped in that regard in his own personal witness and ministry to people of all walks of life. And we've seen the photos of him embracing, those with disabilities. And it really does make you feel good that's the example being set forth for our church.
Absolutely. It has been such an awareness-raising experience to have the Pope reach out and through his books, The Joy of the Gospel, Light of Faith, The Church of Mercy. Constantly the Pope challenges us to reach out to people who are on the margins of society, and obviously that would include people with disabilities. So he is a marvelous example and has challenged us all.
One of the initiatives of your office is Camp Glow. So people who may not be familiar with the Office of Disabilities Ministry may have some familiarity with Camp Glow. Can you speak a little bit about it, explain what it is and how it operates, and maybe let people know how they can take advantage of this great program?
Absolutely. Camp Glow, GLOW is an acronym for God Loves Our World, has been in existence since 1979. It's an archdiocesan week-long residential camp for adults with disabilities, and it provides an opportunity for spiritual growth and social enrichment for persons with disabilities. And it really is a wonderful example of evangelization, because it provides an opportunity for getting together people with disabilities, their companions who are adults of all age categories, brings together youth ministry groups who visit every day and help out, different organizations like the Knights of Columbus, Alhambra, and others who come and assist and join in our activities. We have priests throughout the Archdiocese. Each year that he's been here in the Archdiocese of Baltimore, Archbishop Laurie has celebrated Mass with us, Bishop Madden, and our former Bishop Rosansky, all come to camp and celebrate Mass each day. It's a wonderful example of people all sharing their gifts in a spirit of the love of the Lord.
And this does it take place in the summertime?
Yes, it does.
At the retreat house in Sparks?
Yes. We have grown over 9 years. When I began this ministry 9 years ago, we had one session of Camp Glow each summer. So that was 1 week. We now have four, three at the O'Dwyer Retreat Center in Sparks and one in Western Maryland. And I will guarantee you that all four will be filled. The need is that great.
And is this a day camp or an overnight camp?
It's an overnight camp. It's a week-long overnight. We spend a week together.
And what are some of the things they do, you know, while they're there, the campers?
Typically, we share, obviously, all meals together, and then we have arts and crafts. There are pool activities, movies. Every night we have a different main activity. We have a birthday party, a movie night, a talent show, and a dance where all of us share our gifts and talents with each other throughout the week. It is truly the most wonderful experience, and we always need volunteers, so if people would like to, there's information on the website where they can contact the Office of Disabilities Ministry to do that.
And this camp is obviously, it's a great thing for the campers, but it's also a huge help to family members and caregivers, is it not?
Absolutely correct.
And it gives them a break.
It's a opportunity for respite, and many parents have expressed, and caregivers have expressed their appreciation for a loving atmosphere of faith where the persons who they care for can go for a week, and they have a chance to go away, go on vacation. They feel that comfortable. The camp is such a good atmosphere, provides such security that that they can enjoy a period of respite themselves.
That's great. What advice do you give to Catholics who encounter someone with a disability, say at Mass, and they want to be welcoming but just aren't sure how to go about that?
Yeah, a good question. First of all, the commendation for those who want to reach out. That's what we need. Be honest, the most simple advice would be to ask, can I help? And then how? How can I help? You know, if you see someone who is blind, rather than take their arm and move them, ask, how can I help you? Because there are specific ways that people need assistance. And also, if I might suggest, checking the Archdiocesan website for the Office of Disabilities Ministry. We provide on the website some wonderful resources, such as what are some common courtesies when encountering people with disabilities?
People's hearts go out when they see someone, you know, at Mass and the parents are struggling and you can tell they're overwhelmed and you want to be welcoming and you want to help, but sometimes you're just not always sure how.
Absolutely. And it's quite natural to be hesitant. But as I say, on the website, we have some common sense, like using people first language. It's a person who is blind versus a blind person, because we don't put the disability first. It's the person first.
And how about for parishes, when your office is asked to go to a parish and help them think about how they're ministering to individuals with disabilities, what are some of the ideas that you offer them?
We ask parishes in their efforts to outreach, to consider access, accommodations, you know, large print missals, cutouts for people who have wheelchairs, making as many parts of the church buildings accessible to people.
So for anyone who wants information about how to access these resources, they can visit the Office of Disabilities Ministry webpage on the website of the Archdiocese. That's www.archbalt.org. Deacon Fleming, thanks for being with us today.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
For 143 years, New Cathedral Cemetery has served the needs of the Catholic community of Baltimore and Central Maryland. New Cathedral is the only cemetery owned by the Archdiocese of Baltimore and is the final resting place for many religious orders and famous citizens. 125 acres of rolling hills, trees, and beautiful monuments, the cemetery is an oasis of peace and tranquility and is located off Edmondson Avenue just outside of Catonsville. New Cathedral is dedicated to the task of tending to the mortal remains of our dearly departed and has many more years of available space. If you are in need of a burial site, vault, monument, or marker, or just a respectful location to place your cremated loved ones, our counselors will help you through this process and make sure the wishes of you and your loved ones are honored. Visit us online at newcathedralcemetery.org, like us on Facebook at New Cathedral Cemetery Bonnie Bray, or call 410-566-7770.
Life can be hard, and at times we feel overwhelmed and alone. When faced with problems, know that there is a group of Catholics who are part of the prayer ministry of the Archdiocese of Baltimore, waiting to lift you and your needs to God in prayer. This ministry is comprised of men and women, young and old, religious and lay, from every ethnic and cultural background. They pray as individuals and in groups, in homes and meeting spaces throughout Baltimore. Like you, they are people who have suffered the same hurts, fears, pains, sickness, loss, and everyday burdens. Learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at www.archbalt.org. If you are in need of prayer, send your prayer request to prayers@archbalt.org or by phone to 410-547-5517. Would you like to volunteer to be a part of the ministry? Prayer ministers are always needed. Please call or email our coordinator, who would be happy to speak with you.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Baltimore. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May God bless us and keep us always in his love.